Hello and welcome to The Odd Past. I'm your host, Matt Perry. Join us every week as we explore the different, the odd, and the wacky side of our collective past. Before we begin today's episode, remember that you can visit us on the web at www.theoddpast.com, and you can support The Odd Past on patreon.com/theoddpast. If you want to support The Odd Past, always leave a good 5-star review or a thumbs up on all of your podcast directories. The American Civil War was the most catastrophic war in American history, obviously because both sides were Americans. The agreed upon, it seems the consensus figure, is around 660,000 men were killed during the Civil War. Now, many people tell the stories of the major battles, and I've told those in class probably a million times. The Battle of Gettysburg in July of 1863, Bull Run in 61, you got Shiloh in 62, the list goes on and on and on. But what I found the most interesting of the American Civil War is the people involved. And one of my favorite stories from the American Civil War is about a general who really didn't have battlefield glory. He wasn't this gallant, over-the-top figure, but he did one of the most interesting and, in my opinion, hilarious things that he could have possibly done during the American Civil War. You see, Benjamin Butler was in charge of New Orleans after New Orleans fell in 1862 into federal hands. Now, to understand why this is such an insult and to understand why this story is so unique, you have to understand the Southern way of thinking. The South, and still somewhat today, but not as much, but there is a hyper sense of pride and honor. And in the middle 19th century, the Southerners truly believed that they were the only gentlemen and ladies in America, and that their culture was the only way, the old South, the planter class, fancy dresses, the best clothes, and they had a hyper sense of self-importance and a hyper sense of honor. And so the last thing that you would do to a Southerner if you wanted to be on their good side was to insult their integrity or to insult their honor. Ben Butler decides to do both. The war was full of wonderfully bizarre characters. And the reason for this is because it was very much a citizens' war in many aspects. While there were career soldiers that went to West Point and spent their entire life in the military, like Robert E. Lee and others, there were also the people that were put in command that had little to no military experience at all. So you see, with the war breaking out, both sides were in need of leadership. Both sides were in need of officers, obviously were in need of soldiers. And so generalships, brigadier generalships, which would be in charge of, 10,000 men at some point, were political appointments. All a governor had to do was sign a piece of paper. You didn't have to have any political experience, any military experience. You didn't need anything other than it was who you knew. So these political appointments, as they were called, were given command simply because of who they knew and how much money they had. And this may look like a terrible idea, and in many aspects it was, but this isn't to say that all political appointments were terrible. You know, there's the famous example of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, the college professor from Maine that ended up serving in the 20th Maine and becoming a hero throughout the war. There were many political appointments that served admirably and effectively. But what's the fun in talking about those guys for this podcast? So today we're going to learn about a political appointment that while he did his job, he also got fast and loose with the rules. And that is the Beast, as he was called in the South, Benjamin Butler. Ben Butler was born in New Hampshire, but he spent most of his early life in Massachusetts. He grew up in an upper middle class family, and he lived comfortably and was given many opportunities to succeed in life. As an adult, he chose to become a lawyer and was a successful trial attorney in his home state. He was a very wealthy man, and he had really no reason change his lifestyle. When the clouds of war began to form, though, Butler used his political connections, and instead of staying out of the conflict, he asked for an appointment. And with zero military experience, he was given command of the 8th Massachusetts Militia. Now, a militia was an early form of what would become companies and regiments later in the war. A militia, for lack of a better way of explaining it, would just be like guys from a couple of towns that would get together and train. It was very loosely controlled, not a lot of military decorum, perfect if you play fast and loose with the rules. See, it was as the commander of the 8th Militia that Butler made his first of many decisions that angered so many people. You see, he marched to Annapolis, Maryland, and he seized the United States Naval Academy, and he seized the Capitol in Annapolis. You see, Butler was a staunch abolitionist, and Maryland, though technically in the North, allowed slaveholding. And so many politicians in that part of the country and in that part of the state of Maryland wanted to join the Confederacy. And Butler saw this as essential. If he could capture the Naval Academy and the Capitol building in Maryland, he could stop Maryland's secession. And some historians actually credit him with derailing the possibility of Maryland's secession. So for the North, it was a brilliant move, but Butler didn't win many friends because he really didn't have permission to do that. But he was let go. He was let off because it worked, and he had shown a willingness to spit in the face of the Southern people. And for a people obsessed with the formal niceties and honor and dignity, or their so-called honor and dignity, this enraged them. But it would only get worse. Butler would only poke them and poke them more and more. You see, he rose quickly in the Union Army because of his performance early in the war and his political connections. He eventually was given the command of the garrison of New Orleans in the spring of 1862, after that critical Mississippi River town fell into Union hands. Butler and his men were, of course, hated by the citizens of New Orleans, with the southern belles of the town showing the most contempt. You see, as his soldiers in their Union blues would walk the streets of New Orleans, they were routinely insulted and spat upon by the ladies of the city. So often so that it became a common complaint for the blue-clad soldiers. Many soldiers also claimed that the women of the town were infamous for waiting for a passing soldier below, walking at street level, before they opened up their upstairs bedroom windows and emptied their chamber pots. Apparently, throwing shit on a soldier is not very ladylike, and Butler sought to put an end to such behavior. But Butler's idea was not only hilarious, but it was also meant to be a huge insult to that deep Southern pride. What followed was one of the most brilliant and insulting orders of the entire war. You see, General Butler would issue his notorious General Orders number 28, which read, and I quote, "Headquarters, Department of the Gulf, New Orleans, May 15, 1862. As the officers and soldiers of the United States have been subject to repeated insults from the women, calling themselves ladies of New Orleans in return for the most scrupulous non-interference and courtesy on our part, it is ordered that hereafter, when any female shall by word, gesture, or movement insult or show contempt for any officer or soldier of the United States, she shall be regarded and held liable to be treated as a woman of the town, plying her avocation, by command of Major General Benjamin Butler." End quote. For those of you who may need a translator, allow me. You see, since the United States soldiers assigned to the city of New Orleans had been insulted by women who call themselves ladies time and again, the general in charge has ordered a stop to all of that activity. If a woman of New Orleans was found to abuse a soldier in any way, they would be considered a lady of the city and be charged with plying her trade. In short, Butler said any woman that insulted his men was a hooker, a prostitute, a woman of the streets, and would be considered trying to lure a John to have sex with them. Brilliant. The people of New Orleans were so pissed off. It's hard to explain in words just how angry they were. But you know what happened? Their behavior changed. And the men of the Union Army were no longer treated outwardly like dirt. They were still, you know, hated and reviled. Heck, even a local merchant in town made himself quite rich with a brilliant idea. You see, he took General Benjamin Butler's face and put it on the bottom of those chamber pots that the women so loved to empty. So every time that they had to use the restroom, they would go on General Ben Butler's face. And so the gentlemen and ladies of New Orleans could piss on that Union general at their own pleasure and convenience. I want to thank you again for joining us on this episode of The Odd Past. I hope you learned something new, and I hope you found it interesting. That's the goal, isn't it? If you love The Odd Past, or if you want to support us in any way, remember, 5-star review however you listen, an applause on anchor.fm, a thumbs up, whatever your directory uses, give it a good rating. You can check us out at theoddpast.com or patreon.com/theoddpast. So until next time, remember, history should never be boring.